be a little bit different of a service. Pastor Jimmy, I took it as a challenge a couple of months ago when he said, we pray as a church, but we're not quite yet a praying church. So tonight is going to look a wee bit different. Manage it with me as it might be a little clunky as we make it through, but I don't believe that anybody in here asks for prayer requests on Wednesday nights or special prayer requests or anointings thinking that God is going to do nothing. That he can't hear us, that, yeah, he can answer the prayers of her, him, and him, but not me. I don't believe that for one second, that we think when we ask that he is not going to move. And I have found out in my course of serving here in my 11 years of salvation that God does listen, that God does move. That even when we're not faithful, even when we're not following the path that he has created for us, he's still there with us. Romans chapter 1 is where we're going to be. As you turn there, we do have, if you guys have forgotten, we do have a concert cookout tomorrow. I've been praying for that for a while. We have quite the opportunity tomorrow to share the gospel with people, to meet physical and spiritual needs of the individuals in Huntington. Last year, Phil and I got put in the prayer tent. Nobody came to us. Very few people came to us. So we went out to them. And you wouldn't believe how many people had something that we could pray for. You wouldn't believe how many people almost seemed like they were waiting for someone to come up and ask how they're doing. We have that same opportunity tomorrow with the same people in the same county. It's at the same park, right? Same park. The desire for us tomorrow to see souls saved should outweigh any meal that we're going to get. The desire to see people led to Christ and hear a message that they might have never heard before should be the main purpose in why we're going. Yeah, there's going to be great music. Yeah, there's going to be good food. But when you get to share the gospel with somebody, when you get to pray with a hurting person, wow, lives can change. Romans chapter 1, verses 13 through 17 is where we're going to be tonight. 13, this is Paul writing. He says, now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Verse 15. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you this evening, and we go through these verses, and we break off into small prayer, Lord, I pray that our hearts can be right, that as we focus on tomorrow, in the work that you would have for us tomorrow, in the people, the opportunities, the chances that we would have tomorrow, Lord, that you ready our hearts, that you ready our minds, you ready our tongues, you ready our souls, Lord, do the work that you've asked us to do. We love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Paul here, in verse 13, it is clear that he had a desire to go to Rome. He wanted to go for a couple of reasons. In verse 12, it says that he wanted to be encouraged, but also to encourage. You see, this letter, Paul didn't start this church. In many of his other letters, he started the churches that he was writing to, but this one, he didn't start. So he's encouraged by them that, hey, you're doing the Lord's work without me having to tell you. You're doing what God's asked you to do without hearing it from me. And so he wanted to be encouraged and to encourage. See, everything about Paul, everything from his transformation, everything after that pointed to Christ. Everything he wanted to do, he wanted to go to be encouraged and to encourage, but also mainly to share the gospel with the Roman culture that didn't quite like the gospel. He wanted to go and be there as support, advice, and as an evangelist. Everything he did, from his ministry to his lifestyle to the actions to the things that he did on a daily basis, pointed everything towards Christ. When you have an experience like Paul had, like we've had, it's hard not to point to Christ. Our desire should be to encourage a brother and sister, to pray for brother and sister, to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. The desire should be to be there, to have a heart for people, to say, hey, I know what you're going through. Or, hey, I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you, I can introduce you, I can show you someone who does. Paul's desire was people. Paul's desire was God. Paul's desire was to share the gospel with any breathing thing, because it was just that good. As we get ready for the concert cookout tomorrow, I ask, is our desire the same? As we think about the opportunities that we have tomorrow, the people that we're going to encounter, what is our desire? Is it to go and sweat to death? Because it's going to be hot. Is it to go and sweat and eat a couple hot dogs and hamburgers and kick back, relax, listen to music? I hope not. I hope it's to go with a heart that says, Lord, I'm ready to share the gospel. Lord, I'm ready to pray. Lord, I'm ready to do what you've asked me to do. And tonight, Jeremy, if you'd like to come up and pray that we as a church, as a group, you want to turn the green on, Alex? Yeah, if you want to pray. Pray for a desire that we would have to go out and do God's work tomorrow. Okay.
Is it on? Hello. Okay, got it? Technical difficulties. Okay, if you back right with me, please. Lord, we just thank you for engineering this opportunity to reach out into the public and talk to people that normally we don't get a chance to reach. We know you've given us a mission to reach the broken and the disheartened, and we're a hospital, and we take that mission very seriously, Lord. And tomorrow, as we go out, we're going to have these opportunities to speak to people that we've never spoken with before. Lord, I just, as we stand in the gap and we open up that line of communication between you and people who don't necessarily know who you are, give us the right words to speak. Give us the wisdom to know what to say, and open up their hearts and minds so that they may receive your message, so that we can reach them and bring them to know who your son is and what he's about. Lord, there's such a good peace in salvation. You've saved my life. You've saved many people's lives here. You've changed our lives for the better, and we just want to change the other people's lives for the better as well. So, Lord, I just ask that you be with us tomorrow, and that you be amongst the crowd, that your spirit would move amongst the crowd, and that we would just have this Holy Spirit power, that where we would talk to people, that if there's some kind of thing stopping us, Lord, that you would just break it. If there's a spirit there, that's a spirit of evil that's trying to stop us, that you would just break through it and give us the power to know and say what we need to say to those people. Give us the power. Some of these people are kind of shy when they go out and try and do the gospel. Lord, you know I got a big mouth, and I like saying the gospel because I know you saved me. Lord, help those people who might be a little shy about talking to somebody. Just give them that energy, that power, man, that little boost, that little push that they might need to talk to somebody that they might not be able to talk to normally. I just ask that you be with us tomorrow, and give us that heart to spread the gospel and tell other people about your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. See, Paul's desire to share the gospel, Paul's desire to go was fueled singularly by what Christ did on the cross. His desire to share the gospel with a lost and dying world was fueled by what Christ did for him on the cross, and the understanding that he had of the severity of where a life and a death without Christ gets you. In verse 14, he says something kind of peculiar. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. You see, Paul had a debt that he couldn't pay, but Jesus paid it for him. You and I have a debt that we couldn't pay, but Jesus paid it for us. So what is he saying? Is he in debt to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise? No, he's not saying that he owes them money or he owes them something. If somebody had, if let's say we racked up thousands in credit card debts, say, and somebody decided to pay that off for you, you would feel as if you were indebted to that person. I owe them something. You guys know the pay it forward deal when you're driving through the drive-thru and somebody says, hey, this person paid for your meal. Do you want to pay for the next person? And you're like, not really, but I'm going to because this is what you're supposed to do. And you get a free meal and then you pay for others. And it keeps going and going and going. What Paul is saying here is the gift that I have received, the debt that has been paid for me is so great that I have to tell others about it. The debt that has been paid for me that I couldn't pay on my own, that you couldn't pay on your own, has been paid. I need to tell everybody. He excludes nobody. He says in verse 14, to the Greeks, the educated, and the barbarians, the uneducated, to the wise, the educated, and to the unwise, the educated. Everybody falls into those groups. And he's saying, I am in debt to telling them what Christ did for me on that road. I can't not tell these people what Christ did for me that day. I have to share the good news of the debt that had been paid because I knew and Paul knew where he was headed without it. And that's news worth sharing. That is news worth sharing. And that is an understanding. If we have an understanding of the true, you know, what Jesus Christ truly did for us and what that truly means to us and what the blood on that cross did for us, we too should have those same words. We're in debt to the rest of mankind. We have got to want to tell because of our understanding in Jesus Christ. You're witnessing to your brother. You get it. He doesn't yet. Stay in debt. Keep telling him. Keep praying for him. Keep doing it. It can get tough. Keep doing it. Everybody else who's witnessing, sharing, praying for somebody, keep doing it because it is worth it. Paul is saying it's worth it. If you've experienced it and you understand it, it is worth it. The people that we're going to be talking to tomorrow that are going to be there at that park, they're worth it. Every single one of them is worth it. The problem is they don't know they're in debt. The problem is they don't know they need a Savior. The problem is they don't care about what the words say in this book or what Jesus Christ has to say. But we should. And because of our understanding and our understanding of who Jesus is and the impact of the gospel, we should want to do that. So, Phil, if you'd like to pray for tomorrow that, you know, our understanding and impact of the gospel can make a difference in people's lives.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for how awesome that you are, Lord. Lord, you are mighty to save. You have power to save. And Lord, I thank you for saving my life. And if there's those who are that are believers in here, Lord, thank you for saving their lives. And Lord, give us an understanding, Lord, that the gospel changes lives. Lord, those people that will be at that part, there's many of them that have no idea where they're going. One of the most powerful questions anyone can ever hear is, do I know where I'm going when I die? And because of the gospel, oh wow, do I know where I'm going? Lord, help me understand more and more every day that you have the power to forgive sins, that you have the power to clear my debt, that you have the power to cleanse me of all my unrighteousness, that you have the power to cast it all as far as the east is from the west. And like the verse says, Lord, make me obligated to share the gospel. Lord, give me the attitude of obligation. As Paul says, I'm obligated. I'm eager to share the gospel. Lord, make me eager to share the gospel. I pray over all of the people that are here tonight. Lord, give them the spirit of eagerness, the urgency of sharing the gospel tomorrow. Lord, there's nothing like the gospel. Lord, it's changed my life. It's taken me from hell to heaven. Lord, it's given me freedom. There's many people that will come to that park and they don't even know that they need to be freed. Chains on them, broken, hard-hearted. Lord, I just pray that you ready the hearts of the people that will be there, that you ready our hearts to share the gospel. Lord, that you soften the hearts, that they might be ready to hear it and to respond for it. And Lord, I just praise you now because that concert and cookout, you've given me the gift to share the gospel with two people there. Lord, there's no gift like that. Lord, and I pray for these people here tonight that they might be able to experience that awesome gift of sharing the gospel. Because there's nothing like watching somebody realize that they need salvation. There's nothing like watching somebody throw their hands up to heaven in thankfulness of what you've done on the cross. Lord, thank you for being mighty to save. Thank you for saving my life. And thank you for the good news, the gospel, because it truly changes the heart of a man and a woman. Lord, thank you for being awesome. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Verse 15, he says, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. You see, with godly desire and understanding and obligation, we should have a godly purpose. See, Paul didn't want to go to Rome to kick back and say, I'm going on vacation. He didn't want to go see the Colosseum and sightsee and do all the things that we think about is Rome. He had a purpose. He knew exactly why he wanted to go. He knew exactly why he needed to go. You know, I've heard, even in this church with missions trips, that, oh, I'd love to go to Mexico, or I'd love to go to South America. Oh, I'll hang out on the beaches and do this, that, and the other. That's fine and good, but it's not a vacation. If we've been here during the weeks when mission teams have come up, they're not on vacation. They're working. They're putting in a lot of work, a lot of hard work that we as a church can't do on our own. They have a purpose. They have a desire to serve God. They have an understanding that God is bigger than them and that they should be doing what He's asked. And when you have both of those things, well, guess what? The purpose comes easy. It's doing whatever God's asked you to do in whatever capacity He's asked you to serve in. Paul is not going to Rome for vacation. Paul is going, and not only that, he says, so much as is in me, he can't contain it. He is excited. He wants to share and preach the gospel to those who are in Rome. This man truly lived a life with a godly purpose. He truly understood what it meant to be a Christian. He had been through the good and the bad. He didn't know that he would be going to Roman chains, but that's how God took him. He didn't know that he would be killed there either. But he got to go. He asked for it. He had a purpose. God let him go. I wonder sometimes when the opportunity strikes, when it hits us like we'll have tomorrow, are we ready? Are we excited? It says, so much as in me, I am ready. Tomorrow, we prayed for it, so I expect it to be there. There are going to be opportunities. The question is, are you ready to jump on those opportunities? When that person is downtrodden, sitting by themselves, kicking dirt, waiting for somebody to come up and talk to them, are you going to go up and talk to them, or are you going to click up and talk to the people that you see every Sunday and every Wednesday? When you see a person that's hurting, that's struggling with four little kids, are you going to go up and ask them if they need help? Are you going to click up with the people that you see day in, day out, week in, week out? We have opportunities. And Paul says here, I've never been, but I'm ready to go. I'm excited to share the gospel. It's all that's in me. I have to get it out. We ought to have that same purpose that Paul had before he went. He's not even there yet, and he's excited. He's not even there yet, and he can't wait. He's not even there yet. He doesn't even care what happens to him. I just want to go. I got to tell somebody. You remember that when you first got saved? You just got to tell somebody. just got to tell them. Regardless of how they react, I just got to tell somebody. We have that opportunity tomorrow. We got to be ready. So, Jen, if you'd like to pray that we would be ready and that we have a purpose in sharing the gospel tomorrow.
Jesus and making a way for us to escape our own punishment, what we deserve for our sin. I ask, Lord, that when we go to the park tomorrow, that you would just be preparing us in advance, that we would go with godly purpose, as Phil said, that our hearts and our minds, our focus would not be on what all we need to do, our big checklist of our jobs or the various things that we're assigned to, or the people that we want to see, but that our focus would be on the lost that are there. I ask, Lord, that you would help us to be able to speak and share out of the overflow of our own hearts, so that you would remind us of the joy of our salvation, and that we would be like Paul, that we would just be overflowing and ready and eager to share the hope that we have in you, that we would be willing and eager to share our own stories or what you are currently teaching us, whatever the case may be, Lord, whatever is called for. And I just ask that you would help us to be bold and confident, that we would trust in the Holy Spirit to say the right thing, that it's not about us, but that it's about your Spirit, Lord. And I ask that we would be faithful to you in this way because of all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. It gets to verse 16. And this is a question that we all need to be asking ourselves. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." Paul, guy's not ashamed. If you read any book, pretty much any book in the New Testament, you will know that he didn't care who he was talking to. He didn't care what demographic they were from. He didn't care about the status. He didn't care about any of those things. He was willing. He was ready. Nobody was going to shut him up. Because when you have somebody that is filled and excited and eager to do God's work gets done. It is extremely hard to share something or speak about something that you're ashamed of. Everybody sitting in here, standing in here, can think of something that they're extremely embarrassed about, that they are ashamed of. If I asked you to share with me your deepest, darkest secret, some of you say, "Yeah, I would," and it probably would be a lie because your deepest, darkest secret is between you and God. You wouldn't volunteer the information. You wouldn't say, "Hey, here's everything that I used to do and what I'm still doing and all of these sins that I've committed, and lay it out before me." It's between you and God. But the gospel is between you, God, and everybody else. And so we ought to be able to share and not be ashamed of the gospel. Let me ask you this. Are you embarrassed about sharing with somebody about the one who was born of a virgin? Paul wasn't. Are you embarrassed and ashamed to share of the one who lived a perfect, sinless life without blemish? Paul wasn't. Are you embarrassed to share with others about the one who was obedient even to death, death on the cross? Because Paul wasn't. Are you embarrassed to share about that he was crucified, died, buried, on the third day he rose again? Paul wasn't. Are you embarrassed to tell others about the one whose blood made you white as snow? Because Paul wasn't. Are you so embarrassed that you can't tell somebody about the one who changed your life, who took you from hell and in your sin, going nowhere, picked you up, put you on solid ground, turned your life around, made you a new creation, and completely changed your eternity, because Paul was not. So I ask, why are we? Why are we so scared, so ashamed, so we put ourselves, we put the gospel off? Why is that? Do we truly care about these people? The opportunities that we're going to have tomorrow, and I know, because I was there last year and the year before, that not everybody's going to take the opportunities. Not everybody's going to take the opportunity to talk to the individual, the man, the woman, the children, and share what Jesus Christ has done in your life, in my life. We need not be ashamed of the Word of God. We need not be ashamed of the gospel. We need not be ashamed of whatever repercussion will come from it. Paul didn't care. He got beat, he got flogged, he got thrown in prison. If you've been here the last three Sundays, you'll know he didn't have it easy in Macedonia, did he? But he did it anyways. Why? He said he's not ashamed. And neither should we. Ashley, if you'd like to pray that tomorrow, that we would not be ashamed and that we'd be willing to share the gospel at that park.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we prepare for this cookout concert that we have tomorrow, Lord, I just ask that you prepare our hearts, Lord, and give us a righteous attitude, Lord, to want to share the gospel, Lord, to not be ashamed of what you have done for each and every one of us here, Lord, that if the person who shared the gospel with us was ashamed, where would we be today? Lord, I'm so thankful for those who are not ashamed of what you have done in their lives, Lord, and I ask that we can go forth, Lord, and be bold and share the gospel to the lost and dying world, Lord, so that they may be unashamed of the gospel and to receive salvation, Lord, and to share it to those that we will not be able to reach, Lord. There are people that these lost will know that we will never be able to see or talk to, Lord, that they will be able to reach. Lord, so we ask that you prepare our hearts, Lord, and give us the boldness and the confidence and, Lord, the spirit to just reach out and talk to even just one person and just tell them about Jesus and just the little things that God has done in our lives, Lord. There are so many things that we can talk to so many people about, Lord. But just one mention of the name Jesus, Lord, can open a heart and open the ear, Lord. And we just ask that we be unashamed of the gospel and reach this lost and dying world tomorrow. We just praise you and thank you so much for the opportunity that you're going to give us. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So what's it all for? Ask for these opportunities. Not being ashamed, having a desire, an understanding, and a purpose. What's it all for? Verse 17 says, "For in the righteousness, for in it, that is the sharing of the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Just as written, the just shall live by faith." When we share the gospel, there is a hope that the veil that has blinded an individual for decades comes off. That the righteousness of God is revealed in their lives. The sin that they have been crippled by, the addiction that they can't get rid of on their own, can be changed when the righteousness of God is revealed in their lives. The thing that they couldn't get past by themselves with friends, family, anything physical, worldly, when the righteousness of God is revealed, all things change. By us not sharing tomorrow, and I know it's going to happen, by us not sharing tomorrow, one less opportunity for the righteousness of God to be revealed in the lives of the people here in Huntington, the people where we've been called to serve, the community that we've been called to serve in, they again don't get to hear the gospel. It is so important, and when we understand where we were going without Christ, when we understood our fate without Him, what that hell is a real place, and everybody in this room was going there, without Jesus Christ, we ought to be more apt and quick to share so that the righteousness of God might be revealed, because that is the only hope in this world. You can put your hope in anything, but it's gonna leave you disappointed. The only thing that you can put your hope in that's going to stay true is Jesus Christ the Word of God. And it's only because of Him and because of the gospel and because of Jesus Christ that the righteousness of God can be revealed. So, Pastor Jimmy, if you'd like to pray that it will be revealed tomorrow.
Father, You are God and there is no other. And Lord, lost, even those that are lost, Lord, even flinch when they hear Your name. And just out of reverence, even the lost know many times who You are. But Your name is above all names. And tomorrow, Lord, we know that we will do this event tomorrow, that we know that those that are down there will have ears, they will have eyes. But I pray, Father, tonight that You will begin to open up their hearts and their eyes and their ears, that they might hear the gospel tomorrow, that they might be receptive, Lord, to the words that are spoken to them about You. Lord, we've been doing this a while, and I pray, Father, that You would just do what only You can do and open the hearts and of the individuals that are there, Lord, for this is for Your glory, not our own. Father, we are stepping out, even working with some other churches and even different denominations, even though whatever it may be, and maybe even some different beliefs, but You, Lord, You are still the center of each one of those churches, Lord, and that is the main thing. We may have some disagreements on some other things, but Lord, not You, because You are the center. You are what we do. You're why we are here. I pray, Father, Lord, You now look that You, Lord, let us not work and do this in vain, Lord, but the seeds will be planted and that Your name will be praised, Lord, throughout the future. And I pray, Father, that You would give us more ground to cover, and we're doing that. We're stepping out of off of our property onto the public. And I pray, Father, Lord, You give us a win on the battlefield there with love and compassion as our weapons. And, Lord, I just pray, Father, against darkness, Lord. I pray, Father, that as strong as darkness can be and the hold that it has on those that are lost. And I pray, Father, Lord, You would release that they might hear glimpses of the gospel and that perk themselves up that they would hear the full gospel and receive it. And it is for Your glory. Lord, let not Your people go and be fruitless. But Lord, begin to make that change in this community. Even if we see these people one time, I pray, Father, that You would bring them to the prayer tent. I pray, Father, that our people, Lord, would begin to share the gospel, share their testimonies of what You've done with them. And I pray, Father, that You would give us boastfulness in Your Spirit, that when Your Spirit prods us tomorrow, for whoever You choose to speak up, for one person needs to hear another person, and a different person needs to hear a different person. Lord, I pray, Father, when we feel that nudging, Lord, that we would not be ashamed, that we not shrink back, but go forward in faith, go forward in strength by Your Spirit. And Father, then we can go home, and we can rest, and we can pray for the individuals that we talked to, or the ones that we saw. And we can be happy about that and joyful and wrestle with it in a positive way. But Lord, let us not go home thinking, what I should have said this, or I should have said that, or I was afraid to open my mouth. Lord, may Your name be glorified. May Jesus' name be glorified. And when You visit and You are a part of this concert, because You are, through song and through word and even through the message, put words upon my lips. But I pray, Father, that You would, when we were done, that You can smile and say, well done. But Lord, this is for You. This is for You. May Your will be done, and may Your name be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all authority has been given to Me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. We have been called to serve here in Huntington. We've been called to do what God's asked us to do. We just read what the Great Commission says. We know how Paul feels about sharing the gospel. Let's start sharing and let's start tomorrow.